Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Alwyn Boyle has been sharing her story to having a baby alone on Instagram and on this show over the last, I'm going to say, year and a half, 2 years. We have been there as she went through numerous procedures in Ireland and when she travelled to fertility clinics in Athens for embryo and sperm donation. And we were delighted to share that it was successful. Now, if you follow Alwyn on Instagram, you will know that the journey turned to sorrow, and she joins me now in studio to update us on her story. And I just have to say and give a trigger warning for anyone who has experienced baby loss, this chat might not be for you. You might not be ready to hear it or to get involved, and I just want to give you the opportunity now. Alwyn, you're very welcome to the studio. How are
you? Hi, I'm good. I'm actually surprisingly good.
Good.
Packing my bags, ready to go again.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Well, look, last time you were on the show, you were sharing the news that you were 4 weeks pregnant. Can you just remind people and talk me through what happened in the weeks after that? I know your Instagram followers will have an idea of what happened, but can you just explain it to the listener?
Yeah, so basically, if I go back to when I first went over the last time, or the second time I went over when it was successful, it was mad because I went over and I decided to go for a month and that was it. I just invested everything in the month because obviously with COVID, I had no work or anything.
Yeah.
So I went island hopping. And I didn't follow all the rules. And I think, you know, the first time I went over, I did. It was like that, don't drink for months before, eat everything that's amazing and be really good. I'm not saying do everything wrong. I'm just saying this time when I went over for the month, I tried to detach myself from it as much as possible and start finding me again. And that was important. I was starting to slowly lose who I was as a person. So I went off island hopping, came back on the Sunday night, went in on the Monday after a fantastic week. And they were like, right, we're doing it now. We're putting in the embryos now. And I was like, okay. So I waited the 2 weeks in Greece because I was like, I want them to do the test. I found the process of waiting here was hell. And everyone asks you and it's fine, but it's just that 2 weeks is possibly anyone who's ever gone through anything like this will know that that 2 weeks is the longest 2 weeks of your life. You know, just waiting to know
if it's
did it work or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're buying pregnancy tests and weaning on sticks every 5 minutes and telling people you're not doing it and you are doing it, and it's just a minefield of stuff like that. So I waited the 2 weeks, went into the clinic, and I'm not joking, like literally all of my doctors from Serum were all around, the nurses, everything, and they were like, oh my god. Penny didn't even wait to bring me upstairs. She just ran downstairs, bawling her eyes out and being like, it worked. And I literally stood, I just was in shock, and I was like, thank god it's happened. People have been so good to me, so kind to me, so supportive, my family, everyone. I was like, I felt like finally I had achieved something. You know, and I know that sounds maybe a bit silly to some people, but when you find out your eggs aren't viable, when you're single, when you're turning almost 40, you don't feel great, you know. And now I finally found that I had achieved something and I'd made everyone really happy and I was happy.
And you were able to share.
And I was able to share
positive good news
with everybody for the first time. So it wasn't like I was just constantly being a whinge. So came home and my family were great. They had a big surprise party. My friend, when I drove into my estate, like my best friend had done up the whole house, Jane. And I was just like, oh my God. And it was just amazing. It was so amazing. I can't describe it. But it also felt really surreal because I suppose I wasn't holding it. I didn't see it yet. I didn't, you know, there was always a little part of my mind that said, be careful, be careful. But you couldn't help not being careful because you were so excited. So I went in then. My niece, I had asked her to be the godmother. And I had said to her, you know, I'd love you to come to my first scan. Obviously, she's not allowed. So I had booked a private scan about 6 weeks. And I went in and the nurses were like, oh my God, the heartbeat is so strong. This is amazing. And I videoed it and it was amazing. Put it up on Instagram and I was just so excited. Still lying there and a little part of my brain being like, come on now, calm down, calm down. And then I went in for my first scan in Hollis Street.
Mm-hmm.
At seven weeks. And I went in, the nurse, I was on my own. I wasn't allowed to bring anyone in this time. And I really wanted to bring Jane in, but I wasn't allowed. So I went in on my own and she said that she saw that the baby's heartbeat was really strong. She was in really, like, everything was really positive. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then she was like, I could see her face was kind of changing a little bit. And I said, is everything okay? And she said, there's a little bit of shadowing. And I was like, oh God, it's twins. Because I had put in two embryos. And I was like, oh, it must be twins. Oh, sweet divine, it's twins. How am I going to... And now my head was now making twins in the room. You know, I was like, I've no space. And I was like, is everything... And she was like, I'm just... The heartbeat's so strong. I feel like you're measuring 2 or 3 days ahead. Now, I've never been pregnant. And I don't understand all of that stuff. As I said all the time to people, we don't learn it in school.
Mm.
So me hearing that makes me feel that this baby is like a fighter. Like, you know, it's now a few days ahead and it's measuring quite well. And there's a bit of shadowing, could have someone else hidden in there. Heartbeat was strong. And she said, I'm just going to bring you back in 10 days just to make sure everything's fine. And I was like, OK, grand. So... Now, I'll probably get in trouble for this, but in 10 days, I pretended my friend Jane was my partner. Mm-hmm. Well, technically, she was my partner.
Yeah.
She was going to be my birthing partner.
There you go, your birthing
so
partner.
So I just used the word partner. And they said she wasn't allowed in until I was actually on the bed and they were doing the internal.
Okay.
I was fine. So she waited outside. They rang her, told her to come up. And we were sitting there and she was like, I just have something to say to you. And I was like, oh God, it's twins. And myself and Jane were just like, oh my God, it's twins. Definitely twins. She goes, there's no heartbeat. And I just, it felt like the longest 2 words I've ever heard in my whole life. I just was like, and my poor friend just like broke down and I couldn't even cry. I was just like, I can't cry. I don't know what to feel. I've let everyone down again. All this mad stuff went on in my head. My body's let me down again. I've let myself down. I've let my family down. I've let Penny, like all that stuff just kept, I've let everyone on Instagram down. And the first thing Jane said was, you don't have to share it. I said, I do, because this is how I feel. And everyone can feel very differently. And that's really important to know. Like, but I just, my friend was like, we need a second opinion. We need a second opinion. And the thing that really upset me then was the lady was so kind. She brought me over and she showed me the baby. And she showed me like on the scan where it was measuring. And it was measuring tiny. So it had passed like 2 days after I'd had the scan. And so I was like, oh my God, I've been carrying this baby for 8 days and he's not, or he or she's not with me. Like, and that really killed me. So they were like, you can go home. This is obviously, if anyone's, I agree with you, if anyone's been through this, you know, it's, this isn't the nice part. You can either, so don't listen if you don't want to, but you can either go home and pass the baby yourself. And I was like, how can you even tell a woman who lives on her own to go home and do that? You know, in all honesty, how can we do that? And then it was, or we can give you medication to push it along and it might happen tonight or tomorrow night. And I was, and, or there's a DNC. I said, just do the DNC. And my friend was like, no, think about it. I was like, no, I need this out. I need this out now. I need it out of me. And I was like, people might see that as a horrible and selfish way to feel. But for me, I didn't hold it. I didn't have it. And now I felt like I had it for 8 days and it wasn't there. And I just needed it gone. I needed it out of me. So went in the next day. And the nurses are lovely. They're the nicest. Like, you can't fault any of the staff in there. It's just the terminology is horrendous. Like, it's like a geriatric mother doesn't make you feel much better when you're about to have your child terminated. And then also they call it like the suctioning of your baby. Do you agree to that? I don't agree to that, but I have to do that. There's a big difference, you know. And then they brought me in for the procedure and I asked them to do genetic testing on the embryo. And this was, I was turning 40 the next day and I was obviously on my own again. You weren't allowed to bring anyone in. And you're around all women like, doing their own thing and talking to their kids and stuff like that. And like, that's okay. Like, there was other situations. I'm not saying mine's the only bad one. It's definitely not. But yeah, the midwife said to me, unfortunately, we can't give you genetic testing. There's absolutely no way. And I said, I don't understand why you can't give me genetic testing. You've seemingly, you understand what my file is. This is not my egg. This is not a partner's sperm. This is an embryo I have adopted. So you are happily, send me to the country again to use the last two embryos of a fetus that might work again, and you'll put me through this. And she was like, unfortunately, our system in Ireland only allows us to do genetic testing after three consecutive miscarriages.
Wow.
And I said, well, I'm not doing that. Like, you can't do that to me. And she was like, well, we can bring someone in and you can take the baby. I said, I don't want to take the baby home. There's no baby. Stop. Just genetically test this embryo. And she was like, I'm just saying they're not going to say yes. I'll ask management. And I said, well, ask management why I wasn't given a second opinion when the shadow was there the 10 days previous. And then obviously I got the genetic testing done. That was obviously 6.5 weeks ago, and I'm still ringing this morning and no results.
What kind of information will you get back from that genetic testing?
So the main thing about it is there's two, that was a fresh cycle. So there was, so a fresh cycle, for anyone who doesn't know, like, that lady would have done IVF when I was doing IVF at the same time. So she was carrying eggs for me. So it's a surrogate of eggs. And then the sperm is donated and put with that. So there was extra frozen and left over for me to go back if I wanted a sibling for the child. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me to get genetic testing, the genetics of that embryo, of that sperm and that egg that were put together, weren't working in my body.
And you need to find out why.
So I need to find out, is it the embryo? Or is it me? Is it clotting? And if you're happy enough to say that shadowing could have been clotting, well, then you need to look at my file and go, well, she was on baby aspirin. She was on Claxine. They're all blood thinners. So how was there a blood clot? So I got in touch with Penny because I didn't have any other answers
here. The doctor in Athens.
Yeah, got in touch with her. And she was like, I can't talk. She just started crying. And she rang me a week later. It took her a week to ring me because she just couldn't. And she just sent me like numerous amounts of blood tests. And she was like, you know, she's obviously wants everyone to be pregnant. But right now I had now hit a wall of I can't. Like, I don't know what. I need to mind my mental health. I don't know what's going on. Am I just a failure? Like, what is going on?
Now, you've said that a few times, you know, and which is really interesting because this is not you. Like, this is not a reflection on you as a person. But do you feel that you're letting people down in your Instagram community? Because you have a huge community online of people going through similar situations, and we've talked about that off air, that they're so supportive and with you every step of the way. Is there a fear that you're letting other people down, so to speak, would happen to share this kind of news?
Yeah, it is. But to be honest, it's kind of like you're not just letting people down and yourself down and your community down. It's just like you lose yourself.
Yeah.
I lost Alwyn in the last, I'd say, 6 or 7 months. So, and especially with this, I kind of lost a bit of my fun side and who I was. Like, I'm a clown doctor. Like, I work with kids. All I know is kids.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like I kind of lost that. And I was like, no, I want Alwyn back. And I had found her that week when I went on holidays, island hopping, and then got pregnant.
I'd say it's so consuming, you know.
It's a full-time job.
Wanting this baby and wanting that life, it can be so consuming. Mm. So how have you found Alwyn again?
Because I was going to stop and that was it. I was like, right, I'll stop. And then through Instagram and a friend of mine that I haven't seen in such a long time, Stephen, set up a GoFundMe. Now, I'm not going to lie. When he set it up, I was really angry because I felt that there was a lot of pressure put on me now because these people have donated money for me to keep going.
So you make a decision to not keep going. Yeah. This GoFundMe page is set up in all good intentions.
In the nicest
possible way. I can imagine the anger I would have gone through him, to be honest with you.
I did, and I rang him and I was so angry and my family were angry. Yeah. And he was like, I'm sorry, like, I'm doing a spreadsheet, I'm showing every penny. I'm like, it's not that, I don't know. And after you've a miscarriage, one nurse will tell you wait 6 months, one will tell you wait three, one will say you're more fertile the next day. Wow. Like, you know, I don't know, I've never been pregnant, I'm doing it on my own. But it was when people started donating and you read their story and you read why they donated. Like, he has to send them to me because I can't see anything.
Just
because he runs it.
Just what kind of stories? Just an idea of the kind of stories.
Just kind of people being like, because of you talking, I can talk to my friends. I can talk to my family.
About their fertility issues.
About their fertility issues. Nothing is outside of the fertility box, basically. It's not like go off and get your nails done.
Yeah.
Do you know that kind of way? It's very specific. And what I found crazy is a lot of anonymous people, which I thought, like, that's, to me, I don't know if that's mental to anyone else, but I'm like, my story must have made them feel something.
Mm.
So still feel bad about it. So I put out my Instagram last week that I'm going to hopefully try and whatever is there, I'm going to give to some other women. So I have two women at the moment that I'm going to try and give like 500 each to get them over. One is there at the moment, so I'm meeting her when she comes back and we're going to go through her procedure, and I'm going to use my GoFundMe to help her as well.
Incredible. Incredible. It seems that the time frame of this is all very quick. I mean, the GoFundMe page was set up, what, how many weeks ago?
It would have been 6 weeks ago.
6 weeks ago, raised how much in total?
I think it's, I don't know, I don't check it. I think
a lot. It's, there's a lot there. There's a huge support.
Yeah.
So you're going back on Sunday.
And everyone was like, and I think we don't know this about fertility. Everyone's like, why are you going on Sunday? Like, it's the most expensive time. Sorry, hon, I don't tell you when my period comes. It just arrived and I have to go when I'm ovulating. And that's the worst part, you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm ovulating, get on a plane, 500 euro, great.
Yeah.
So I felt guilty and changed my accommodation. It was like, I found one on special offer. So I cancelled one this morning to get the cheaper one for when I go.
Oh, bless you.
Because I have to be there for those 3 days because I was having all these mad dreams, being like, my one magic egg is going to work this time. And I said it to Penny and she was like, Alwyn, no, like it's 11%.
So you're going back, you're going to put
do
yourself,
all the bloods.
Do all the bloods. Penny's saying your doctor in Athens is saying you have 11% of this happening.
With IUI.
With IUI.
Using my own egg.
So what do you hope is going to happen when you go over there?
Listen, Jen, right? At this stage, if I live on hope, I'm banjaxed because I've been through everything. But I have to say, she has warned me that that the IUI is probably a non-runner, but we're going to do an aqua scan and we're going to just ram it in and hope for the best.
Yeah, ram it in and hope for the best.
I'm from tip. And then we're going to start the last round of IVF, but that has to be my full stop. So my journey, hopefully by January, will be definite.
Okay.
Whatever the full stop comes with it, it'll hopefully, if it's not the outcome I always wanted, hopefully it'll help someone else with their outcome.
How are you feeling in yourself?
Not a clue, Jen. Not a clue.
Mixed emotions.
Yeah, because I'm like, you get up in the morning, you're like, oh God, I better check if there's a cheaper place because these people are supporting me now, and better try and get a cheaper flight because I said I would never fly with one airline. Now I'm flying with them. Like,
ah, yeah, sure.
Do you know what I mean? Because it's the cheapest. Like.
It is, yeah.
And I feel like it's not my money. So.
No, I know. Aren't the Irish people amazing?
They are.
When you hear stories like that, you're like, that is just incredible.
Mm.
But as long as you're okay.
Yeah, no, I am. And I think not because of the money.
Yeah.
And not because of anything like that people gave me, but their Instagram messages, their support, my family. Like, mum and dad are finding it quite difficult this time. They're like, enough has to be enough. They're finding it really hard.
Of course.
Really hard. Because they only had got to terms with what IVF really was. And then they're up in my house consoling me, like, you know,
it's a roller coaster.
You
have been through it all. And if you would like to follow Alwyn's story, you will be documenting all of this on your Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
I suspect
it's the only company I have,
absolutely. You can go follow Ollie's Baby Wish. And I just want to say, if you have been affected by this chat, please, you can visit miscarriage.ie. Alwyn, you're a tonic. Even after everything you've been through, you have some attitude. So thank you so much. The texts are flooding in for you already. I followed Alwyn from day one and her honesty is amazing. And that's what is needed. And these open conversations, they need to be had and need to be opened. I pray it works out for her. She loves kids and I know she would be a great mama. That's from Joan. Whatever happens on this trip, whatever the outcome is, I just hope that you find yourself again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sure, wouldn't that be worth the money that they've donated?
That's what I'm saying. If, as I said to my friend the other day, if the outcome isn't what I wanted at the very beginning, mm-hmm. we can't always have what we want. But what I have done is I've made some really nice friends and got people talking. And, you know, I watched Rosanna Davison on The Late Late last week. And
incredible story.
What an incredible story. What an incredible woman. And she even reached out and wished me best of luck. And that meant an awful lot as well.
Well, we wish you the very best of luck and you mind yourself, okay?
Yeah.
Thanks all. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.